I work with young people in Brazil a lot. I told you guys that, right? And where are the ladies that are playing here today? Can you raise your hands there? There are two ladies. Oh, there they are. You guys play awesome. Thank you so much for helping us worship the Lord. There's space for you guys in Brazil, okay? Sorry, Pastor. I have to say that. You can use whatever God gave you and serve Him, whatever you are. It's important that we are always asking, like I have some men and some young people ask me, come to me and say, how do I know that this is God's will for my life? Or how do I know that I'm the center of God's will? I usually start helping this, I can say kids now, right? I'm 46. Yeah. But I usually help them by asking more questions. You know, and usually I ask them, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Because I need to tell you this. You cannot be in the center of God's will if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior. It's impossible. That's the first thing every one of us personally have to do. And I ask this man, these young people, because of my own experience in life. You can be in church busy doing stuff and not be saved. We met just when we started our deputation. A man who was a pastor, and he'd been pastoring for so many years. And he had to accept Jesus as his Savior. And he was there, at that church we just started, just visiting, and telling his testimony. I was going, wow, thank you, because that was part of my story too. So I don't want you to get busy in ministry, I want you to be saved. I'm not here to question your salvation. It's easy for me to come from outside, Pastor. But make sure you don't miss the point. And if you're saved, amen, you're going to heaven. You are at the center of God's will. And now I need to keep on going. So I usually ask them, so, that's taken care of. Are you reading your Bible and talking to God? This is so simple. Teach the kids that in Sunday school, right? If you've been in Sunday school, read your Bible and pray every day. Are you doing it? Because imagine, I like to say this. Imagine a relationship where there's a husband and wife, and they never talk to each other, and they don't know what each other wants for life. Is that relationship going to work well? No. You need to be reading God's Word to understand what God has to tell you, or how you should live for Him, and how you ought to live as a Christian, and have a personal relationship talking to Him. So usually they say, yes, we're doing some of that. Okay, just keep on going. So let me ask the next question. And are you obeying what you're reading? Are you obeying God's commandment? And a lot of people take the Bible as a literature. I know that. I have a degree in English and literature back in Brazil that was used to teach. And I know people who get the Bible say, yeah, that's good writing. No, that's God's Word. Amen? Amen. So are you obeying it? And usually say, yes, okay, sometimes we don't do it right, but important thing is, God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to surrender little by little. Whatever part of your life you need to surrender to Him, surrender. Just like, the Christian life is going to have this downtime, but as long as it goes always better serving, living for the Lord, that's the way you want to go. And the Lord made it clear for us in 1 John 1:9 that He will forgive if you just ask. So keep on living for Him and trying to obey His commands. Then I come with the last question and I say, so, you're doing all that. Are you obeying the Great Commission? And usually there's, you know those sounds in the shows that say, zzz, what? Isn't that something for missionaries? No. The Great Commission is not for missionaries. The Great Commission is for the disciples of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because if you are, the Great Commission is for you. I'll be preaching today about the mission burden trail. Not that the burden that we have in our lives because of the burden to do ministry, but a burden that God puts in there so we can do ministry, so we can serve Him, so we can have the love for people who are not going to heaven. And we can reach them for Christ. So Let us pray before we start. Dear Jesus, we're so thankful for being able to talk about your word. Now I pray, Lord, that you use this time we have together to really grasp the concept of how we should believe in obeying the Great Commission and how we should be winning souls, whatever we are, for your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. So this title of the message is Mission Burning Trail. And I want you to understand how God gets a person who is living for himself to the point where he decides to live fully for the Lord. And I want you to open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. Acts chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read it. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Most time you're going to hear this preaching, you're going to hear about people saying, "No, send the missionaries away." I want to focus before that. I want to focus on the past before they say they sent them away, because there's a process there. And I want to use this as an illustration for us to take this for our lives. So the first part of the mission trail starts with you participating and serving at your local church. That's the first part of the mission trail. You're here. Here's where you need to minister. Where are you getting that from? In verses 1, it's talking about they have prophets and teachers. And it says in verse 2 that they're ministering to the Lord. Now, that didn't happen by chance. Somebody didn't get a chance. "Oh, I think I'll be preaching now. I think I'll be teaching now." No, those are people who are involved in the ministry. They wanted to serve the Lord. And I don't know where they started, but they had to read their Bible. They had to listen to the Word of God. They had to be praying. And they had to be asking, "Lord, please use me whatever way you want." I don't know where they start in their local church. This is the very beginning of the church. But here's your local church today. I want to transpose that for here. So how does that look like for you working in your local church? I don't know about you, but I like to say that here is in our local church is where you're going to experience the encouragement and the joy of the fellowship of believers. You guys meet once in a while to eat food, right? I don't know what's with Baptists in food, but we like to eat together. And every time I go to a church and see people eat together, I like it. You know why? Because people who can't stand each other, they cannot stay together. And that showed the love. If you can invite people to come just to eat with you, let them come and eat with you and see that joy. If you look through the Bible, you're going to see several instances where, in the beginning, the people were just there together. And the Lord just added it. If you look with me for Acts, I'll just read it for the sake of time. In Acts chapter 2, 46 or 47, it's another instance, the church was together, and it says here that, just a part of it, that they were breaking the bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of one heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord had added more people to the church. Here's your fellowship of believer. Here's your joyful fellowship of believer, where you should show the joy that is to be saved and going to heaven. Amen? And we needed to do that for other people to see. It may be some people are never going to see, come here to church if you don't see that joy outside the church. So you need to serve in the church, being a living Bible, I want to say that, so people can see the difference God makes in your life. It's here in your local church you're going to be first. Start serving the Lord through playing some instrument, to teaching Sunday school, to greet some people at the door, to preach or to gather young people together and do some meetings and teaching and Bible study. And here we're going to get involved with what the Lord has in store for you. Whenever I go to a church, I love to see the greeters. And as I always look for the three kinds of greeters, I have, well, one of them I have met yet, but I look for the one that's always joyful. Hey, how are you doing? You know, it's good to have you here. That's awesome. We have been to a church. There was a person that was first time in that church here in the U.S. There was a person visit that church. So we went there to talk to him. And he told us, it's so good to be here where you feel welcome. I've been in 1 year going to several churches. And this is the first church where somebody greeted me at the door, talked to me, the pastor talked to me. Now the missionary who doesn't have anything to do with the church is talking to me, so I'm coming back tonight. It's important for people to feel welcome. But that greeter is, one kind of the greeters, I like to find out the greeter who is the candy man. And you know the candy man. And the kids know the candy man. And when you go to a church, they're always trying to put in the pocket, and they know which pocket the candy is because, you know, the candy man is there. And that's awesome to see. I didn't find one yet, but I'm looking for the grumpy greeter. I want to find that yet. I mean, I don't want to find, but I hope I don't find. But if I do find it, I want to go with a big smile on my face and say, good morning. Isn't it good to be here and be with the fellowship of believers just worshiping the Lord? It's an awesome day to be here, right? I just want to see the reaction. But anyway, I didn't meet him yet, and I hope I don't, but I have seen the past. No, but it's good to be able to be the church and feel that, feel welcome and know that people get involved. I mean, so it does not matter how you're involved in the church, but find something to do, not to get busy, but find your place of serving here. I'm pretty sure if all of you said, I want to do something here for the Lord, and everybody comes after this service to, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do? I can't take this thing in my head. I want to do something for the Lord. What is it you have for me to do? I think you go crazy and say, what's going on here? Are you okay? But I hope you do that once in your lifetime, because that's awesome. That's how God started working my heart. That's how it started working in Sherry's heart. I'm sure that that's how it started in Pastor's life. And I love all the people who are here in ministry today, doing in whatever capacity, whatever the Lord has for you. Here, you're breaking ground for a mission trail in your local church. The second part of this mission trail, you can find that in chapter and verse 2. And it says that when they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, and in verse 3 it says, and they fasted as they have fasted and prayed. What does it have to do with anything? The second part of the mission trail is a personal trail. Is you personally seeking God's desire for your life? Fasting in the Old and New Testament is not something you just do because you want to lose weight. Today we have the wrong idea. You know, Pastor Chico, you know, you can lose some of that. If you just fast for a few days, it's not that we're talking about. We're talking about separating some time from anything that's going to distract you from find what's God will for your life. That's what fasting is. They took time to separate themselves to pray, to seek God's will, to learn what God wants from them through His Word. And it's important for us to remember that, because as we go in our mission trail here in our life, it's a personal time we have to take to look to see what God wants for me. How can I serve the Lord? How can I fulfill the great commission that He has commanded to every disciple of Him? And it's important for us to go there, because I do think we live in a society that everything comes too easy. It's too easy. We take it for granted. You know, I was reading, I'm not going to go there, it's not part of the mess, but I was reading this week, studying when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that we are the light of the world and the sight, you know, salt. And I was thinking, wow, that's awesome. What did he say before that? Oh, it was giving the Sermon on the Mountain, right? And just blessed be he that, and never a good thing. It's never. Blessed be he that's rich. Blessed he who is comfortable in his house. But it's never like that. It's blessed those who are poor, who are humble, who are suffering. And then they say, you are the light of the world. It's kind of, whoa. But let me ask you this. Are you willing to do what it takes to fulfill God's desire for your life? I do think that we personally have things for granted, forget a few things. And I think the first thing we forget and they need to be the center of this is that we need to personally put our trust in the Lord's way of living. In Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You need to remember that. We need to remember that he will direct you to do what he wants you to do, to live for him. We got to trust him with all you got. The heart means your mind, your understanding with everything. But the problem with that is that sometimes we think understanding is emotion, and that's not it. And sometimes we don't understand the basic fact that we're not putting our trust because we don't know sometimes or forget who we serve. I do think that we need to seek God's understanding of who God really is and be able to put the trust on him. Let me ask you this. When you got to church today, how many of you thought, I don't know if I can sit in this chair. I don't know if it's kind of wobbly. Okay. I don't know. Can I sit here? How many of you just didn't even think about it? You just sat down. Raise your hand. Okay. Why didn't you think about it? I know it puzzled. Why? I want to know too. It's simpler. You trust that chair is going to hold you. If you didn't, you would not sit down. You'd think twice about it. If every time you got to church, you got that chair, oh, that chair is not going to work for me. Where's that chair? I need to find it. You're not going to sit comfortably and just... But I think sometimes we forgot who God is. I'm just going to mention this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I like the words of Jesus in Matthew when he's teaching his disciples to pray. And he says at the very end, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. That's our almighty God. He is the one who created the universe, who sustained everything, who had the power to save us from hell. That's who you trust with your life, with your eternity. And you can trust him here now. I think sometimes we just forget it. We got distracted with so many busy things. You can trust the chair and forgot to trust in Jesus. I can tell you this. The more you trust him, the more easy it's going to for you to just go there and sit down. Okay, let's do it again. Okay, I'll trust you. Okay, I'll trust you. Okay, I'll trust you. I'm not going to even think about it. I'm just sit down. Because we're used to do it all the time. And all the time, he comes with the right provision. The only way we can be missions now here doing mission ministry is because we trust the Lord will provide. I can tell you this. Sherry likes a monthly paycheck. I discovered that in 2009 when I stopped working as a system consultant. And I started having monthly income. So I like this. I like having this paycheck. But I didn't know that. And to go now and say, Lord, provide. Just because I can look back and see what he has done this since we moved to you, since we got married, and since before that, all he has done. Not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it takes trust. And the Almighty God will provide for you, going to show you, but you need to put your trust in him. You need to understand who he is. Also, that's when you're going to actually start doing something that's important. Every Christian, you're going to start to surrender. Because once you put your trust in the Lord Almighty, it's so easy to say, Lord, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's when you surrender. fully. And when you surrender, something awesome happens. You see how things are kind of tying together? You put your trust in the Lord Almighty, the one you can trust. You will have to surrender because that's the only next step you can do. And then when you surrender, He's going to start to mold you. Isaiah 6:4 says that thou art our potter and we are our work of thine hands. That's when the Lord's going to mold you in whatever vase He'll use you for. It's important that you understand that the second part of Mission Trail is important. It's you taking time to find out and trust in the Lord and let Him do what He does best, mold you for His ministry, mold you to serve Him. And you're going to be fulfilled once you're doing that. The third part of the Mission Trail started when God calls you to fully serve Him. In this verse, it says here, verse 2 in our passage says that, separate me for the work whereunto I have called them. And only them, after they had prayed, fasted, knew for sure, they sent them away. There's a point in your life you're going to understand that the Lord wants you to do something. And sometimes I wish it was with, like the New Testament, say, hey, separate Jake for me and send him to Brazil. You know, that'll be easy. But if you're truly listening, He's going to let you know in His own special way. Just like He did for Sharon and I, just like He did for Pastor Fleming. One day He knew He would be in ministry. Is there another pastor here that's not pastoring a church? Okay, He's going to be the first church where I don't meet at least three retired pastors, okay? And it feels kind of different because young person preaching to a lot of retired pastors, it doesn't feel right, but the Lord has put us to do it. What He wants us to do it. And you got to do it. You're going to be called to ministry, whatever it is for you, if you fully surrender to Him. It's important to submit to produce more fruit. Because what this man did now is not like what the prophet Jonah did. The Lord sent Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. Is that how you say it? Nineveh. You guys got it, okay? And he said, nope, not going there. I know you're going to save a bunch of people and I don't want it. Well, that was a direct order. But if you want to produce fruit, if you have submit to the Lord, He will do that. In Sunday school, I read John 15, verses 5 and 2. And I'm just going to say that the Lord will prune your life to serve Him and produce more fruit as you're serving Him. It's not an easy thing, but once you see the fruit that's come out of that process, you just can say, thank you, Lord, for using me. One important thing to remember is, if God has called to the ministry, do it. Do not be like Jonah. He'll show you how. If it's to be a missionary, it's to be a pastor, it's to be a musician at church, if it's to be part of a choir, if it's to be a preacher, an evangelist, teachers in Sunday school. You will reach what your missionaries that you support will never be able to reach. Your neighborhood, your city. It's important to understand that as we go in this mission trail, the trail also leaves something behind, right? So I was looking at our mission trail. It's so awesome to see what the Lord has done. And this mission trail involved the rails, who has a trail right here. I know some of you know him better than I, some of you maybe don't. But John Rayo, my father-in-law, missionaries for 45 years in Brazil. He grew up in a church that didn't preach the gospel, at least not for salvation, and got saved in college and then got called to ministry to serve him. Went to the seminary, started to be a pastor, became the pastor of this church here. Was the first time He wasn't a pastor of anything at all. And after 3 years here, he went to Camp Shatak for another camp. He's serving the Lord, so it's all good, right? Well, the missionary who started my church in Brazil, Robert Doolittle, came to preach at Camp Shatak. And that camp, the Reyes were called to serve the Lord in Brazil alongside the Doolittles. And they've been working there for all these 45 years. And as I look back, I was looking for a missionary story to tell here at Trail, and kind of, I'm going to look at this and see what's happened. First, I got double blessed. My whole family was saved. I was saved, and I got to marry one of the girls. Amen. Besides that, because of these two farmer boys from Wisconsin, 11 independent Baptist churches have been started in Brazil, directly or indirectly. A camp ministry has been started and is still going. You guys saw some of the pictures here today. Countless lives have been impacted by the gospel. In Cuiabá, people who moved away. It's interesting when you see some people come back and say, hey, remember you thought us when we were a kid and now we're serving the Lord in such a city. People are being trained in a seminary. Seven families sprang out as ministries, missionaries back to Brazil, including Sherry and I. 10 men in Brazil dedicated their lives to be a pastor, just that we know of and work with us. And here in Wisconsin, just going through one of the churches, a retired pastor came to me and just said, you know, I want to let you know that in this mission trail, the Reyes came here to preach. And because of his preaching, one of these furloughs, 12 men dedicated their lives to be pastors. We don't know what the Lord will do. I don't know what the Lord will do with our lives. And it truly, I'm not concerned. I'm trusting. I'm trust that He will do what He does. It doesn't need to be big. It doesn't need to be awesome. It just needs to be what He wants it to be for my life. Yeah. And I hope that something will search in your life too. Amen. Pastor.